The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
It's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and also now in Five Points in Athens. Chris Brame and David Johnston with our SEC Championship Game edition, plus all the big conference championship games this weekend as we try to set out or sort out the playoff picture and also the rest of the bowl season. And I don't know, I guess the playoff picture, is it not all that confusing? Is it pretty simple? Is basically it all rides on the SEC Championship Game with things that happen? If Georgia wins, then I think we know the four teams that are the top four right now are going to be the four teams in the playoff. If Georgia loses, it opens the door for someone else to get in. I think Ohio State and LSU are both in, even if they lose tomorrow.
That seems to be the thinking. If Ohio State and LSU both lose and Clemson and Georgia win,
yeah,
all it would do is just shuffle the top four. So then you'd have Clemson number one, and I don't know, would you have Georgia number two? And then, or no, let's see, no, if Ohio State and LSU both lost and Clemson would move up to one,
I think we'd be two then.
And then Georgia would be two, and then
we'd be two playing Ohio State.
Playing Ohio State, yeah.
And then LSU and Clemson would play.
And then if Ohio State wins, Clemson wins, and Georgia wins, then I think it would be Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, LSU.
Yeah.
And you could have a Clemson-Georgia matchup in the Peach Bowl.
I like it. Well, Clemson's favored by 28.5. They're not losing to Virginia. Plus, I mean, Dabo's got this chip on his shoulder.
Little Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, he's make-believe that we don't listen to the noise, but we do invent some of our own.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ohio State is – I'm not going to say they're a mortal lock to beat Wisconsin, but I'd still be stunned if they lost. So it really is. I mean, Georgia, I like it. Georgia's in the position where they really are, like, the key to the whole thing now.
Right, yeah. So I think there's a lot of folks out there that are rooting for Georgia to lose. It's almost
basically everyone.
You
not
know,
in
Dabo's
there.
Making it us against the world for Clemson, but it's kind of like that for Georgia.
No.
Us against the world.
Yeah, Utah, Baylor, and Oklahoma need us to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's their only way to get in.
That's it. And if Georgia wins, then they're pretty much shut out of getting into anything there. Now, you know, there's a bunch of different scenarios, so we're only covering the most likely ones. But, you know, what if Clemson lost? What if Ohio State lost? You know, there's some weird stuff.
Then we Bama know, still gets then, in.
How can we figure out how to get Bama in? The thing is, the one thing we do know is that either one or four is going to win. That's
right.
The only thing we know tomorrow.
Yes.
Know anything else. Unless you want to say Clemson is going to beat Virginia.
One of the four is a lock to win. One of the four is a lock
to
lose.
Correct. Right. So there is going to be something going on. Now, if LSU loses, does it affect them falling out? Probably not. So that's the whole key there. But if Georgia loses, then obviously the Dogs aren't going to the playoff. So basically tomorrow's the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
Of a postseason that's been going on since South Carolina.
Right. For Georgia, but not for LSU.
Not for LSU.
Yeah. It is one where, and I remember my wife asked me this when we were driving home from the Texas A&M game, and I was explaining to her, like, all the different outcomes. And even she got it. The first thing she said was, like, why would Georgia and LSU even play in the game then? Like, that's a great question.
Yeah,
and I really do wish someone would ask Greg Sankey that this weekend. Like, why have this game? Because right now you'd have two teams in the playoff. And, like, if you ask Georgia and LSU, would you rather win the SEC title or have a guaranteed chance in the playoff to win the national championship? My answer would be, like, I'd rather skip tomorrow's game and just go straight to the playoff.
Well, even if the answer from Greg Sankey would be, well, it's money, then wouldn't you say, well, wouldn't you get more money if you had two teams in the playoff?
Yeah, I know. Or is it the spirit of competition?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, he told us earlier this year, right, that this is how things go.
Yeah.
So just accept it.
Grin and bear it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is a good question. So Utah, now we're taping this on Friday. I guess this will be – will we have this out today? So
we'll drop it minutes after completion.
Okay, good. So Utah and Oregon play tonight. Can Oregon beat Utah?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
can.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Utah has looked very good, but you know, this is an Oregon team that almost beat Auburn, probably should have beaten Auburn.
Yeah.
And then had that kind of weird game there against Arizona State.
They do not play well in that state.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. And luckily for them, this game is not being played in that state.
No, Herm Edwards.
Yes. It's being played in Santa Clara. So I'm kind of pulling for Oregon. I'm pulling for the chaos this year because that means Georgia winning means chaos, right?
Us losing
means more chaos.
That means more chaos.
Okay.
I think
well,
if we win, it's pretty simple then.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So then I'm not pulling for the chaos on the Georgia part, but as far as the rest of it, you know, Jeff and I were talking yesterday. And, you know, it's funny, if Georgia wins and Ohio State and Clemson both win, for Georgia to win the national championship, you would have had to have beaten LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson, or LSU, Ohio State, or Clemson, and LSU again. I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy.
No, I mean, it'd be just – even think about what in 2017 where Georgia won at Notre Dame that year and then, you know, beat everyone in the SEC, then had to beat Auburn – beat Oklahoma, and then you still are sitting there, you're faced with Alabama in that last game of the season. But yeah, that would be quite a gauntlet to have to go through. Like,
yeah.
you'll have definitely earned it if that happens.
And you can look at it from the other conference perspectives, but it's not the same because it's like, well, for Clemson, they got to beat Virginia.
Yeah.
For Ohio State, now Wisconsin's they're good, but it's not the daunting task that Georgia has.
It ain't LSU.
Exactly. And even for Oklahoma and Baylor, you know, those two teams are 11-1. They're both good. And Oklahoma's loss was to a Kansas State team that ended up being better this year than we thought they were going to
be. Yeah. No, when you think about it, Georgia's going to have to beat the guy that's going to win the Heisman Trophy. It's an absolute runaway lock for it. Then, in that scenario, would probably have to beat the defending national champ. And then, potentially, beat, you know, its former backup quarterback.
I know, it's amazing. And as a Georgia fan, we all have a little bit of that pessimism in front of us, but you can just totally see, you know, maybe Josh Fields either being Georgia's opponent or Ohio State winning it, and you're like, ugh.
Well, you know, it was only like halfway kidding all offseason with Eason being at Washington and Fields going to Ohio State. You just kind of like one of the most Georgia things ever.
Oh, yeah.
You almost felt like it was an absolute lock that you're going to run into one of those guys one way or another. And, you know, Georgia's definitely in position where it could happen with Ohio State. But, you know, obviously, Georgia's a touchdown underdog tomorrow, so it's not like they're a lock to win the SEC championship or anything like that.
No, and what did you think of the line opening at 4?
That's where I thought it was going to open.
Yeah.
And then
everyone else thought it was going to be higher. Now, it did get, you know,
it did get bet up to
7, which I figured would happen. But that gave me some good comfort that the wise guys had it lower than everyone else thought it was going to be.
Because
if they had it at like 8 or 9, then I would have been a lot more worried.
Where everyone thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So, like, the two things happened that I thought were going to happen. One is I thought we were going to be like a 3.5 or a 4-point underdog. And I also felt like everyone was going to be lining up to take LSU, which apparently that happened. And then the odds makers, they decided, we're not going to take a stand with this number. We're going to move it up to a touchdown. But from what I could tell, everyone's still betting LSU, even at a touchdown. So I think either Georgia's going to win the game, all right? That would be preference number one. Or I don't think LSU's going to blow Georgia out. So either we're going to win the game tomorrow or we're just going to be left hanging our heads again, asking ourselves why we do this to ourselves every year. You can put it right up there with the three losses this decade to Alabama. It's either we're going to win or we're going to lose another
heartbreaker.
Yeah, just like we've lost three times to Bama this decade.
And it'll be the third time in that building.
Yeah, but I don't think LSU – I think it's going to be like a close, tough game the way the last two games against Alabama have been.
So let me play devil's advocate here as a non-Georgia fan. All right, so it's LSU's offense versus Georgia's defense. That's how everybody seems to be billing this. Although, you know, probably ought to look at Georgia's offense versus LSU's defense and see how that plays out too. But my question is, all right, so we do agree. Now, Georgia's defense is very, very good. I think we agree on that. But we'd also agree that Georgia's also benefited a little bit from part of the schedule not seeing the other team's number one quarterback. So we've seen several teams this year that have been playing against Georgia with a guy who was not originally supposed to be playing against Georgia.
Yeah.
All right. So for LSU, for some reason, we want to keep using that Auburn game as kind of a measuring stick for this game coming up. And in that Auburn game, I know it was only 23-20, but if you do a little bit deeper dive into that box score, LSU had over 500 yards of offense. I think, Burrow was 32 of 42 for about 275 yards. Hilaire ran for about 130-something yards. They had a lot. They were going up and down the field. They had a couple of key turnovers that hurt them in that game. I think they were 9 of 19 on third down against Auburn in that game too, which is pretty good.
Oh yeah.
So, how do you take all that and use it for tomorrow, or do you not? I mean, is it just not something that really matters at this point?
The other thing I took away from that game beyond the 23 points, though, is Auburn did hold them to almost – it was around 2 yards per play less on average than what LSU is averaging. So,
and they still had over 500 yards of offense.
Yeah, so, I mean, LSU was, I guess, sustaining drives, not finishing them.
Yeah. Which tells me, though, I mean, that's the thing that Auburn got a couple of turnovers – they did score late. I mean, that was a 10-point game that turned into a 3-point game.
Yeah.
So that's what Georgia's got to do. To me, it's like Georgia has got to force at least a couple of turns. They got to win the turnover battle tomorrow.
Well, and the one thing I remember saying last week when we recorded here was that I wouldn't be sad if Georgia turned it over some against Tech, because we hadn't turned it over before.
In mission accomplished.
Since the South Carolina game. And then Hot Rod even missed a field goal. We still won 52-7 because Tech is just
two swift fumbles. There was the muffed punt and the missed field goal.
Well, like, I've been gone all week. What is the deal with Swift? I know Kirby keeps saying he's going to play.
Says he's going to play, hopeful. Says he's good. That's all we're hearing.
All right.
So that's what we're going with.
See, that is a wild card in this. Our offense has been awful all season, and now Swift.
Is it going to be like Kerryon Johnson for Auburn a couple of years ago, where he was definitely banged up, they tried to play him, it didn't go well? I don't think it's that kind of situation.
Yeah. And it is, with Kerryon, I want to say it was his, wasn't it a knee? At least with Swift, it's upper body.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yes.
Not to say like that doesn't matter, because he was, not like he came back into the game Saturday against Tech and they took his shoulder pads off, but but I don't know. That is one little angle there we got to keep in mind, is he's out, or he's going to be in, but he might not be healthy, and Cager's out.
Maybe he's Cager's out. We know Pickens is out for the first half.
Yeah.
So, although Kirby was asked on the teleconference the other day, so how are you doing? What's your plan going in, with the wide receivers, with Pickens being out in the first half? It's same as it was this past weekend, because they knew
he was
no
out
one
for
else
the
did,
first
but
half.
Yeah, he was suspended for the first half.
Yeah. It's funny, so you get kicked out of a game that you were already suspended for, but but you're going to be able to play in the next game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to be too hard on you, because we do need you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hope Pickens – I mean, the fight was bad, although I still don't understand why Swilling didn't get thrown out also. They were both fighting each other and both swinging at each other.
And he did – deliver the first shove.
Yeah.
Now Pickens started
throwing
punches
and
then he grabbed him and yanked
him into the wall. I mean, it wasn't good by any means, but doesn't mean anything now, I guess. But I mean, I hope whatever Pickens was suspended for in the first place, and now this situation with the fight, this guy's got so much talent, but he's got to get that kind of stuff figured out.
The thing I've noticed with him is every time a play is in his direction, whether it's a catch or an incompletion, but he's targeted on it, he always seems like he's about to get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Like, he's constantly chirping, talking, instigating stuff. I've noticed that about him all year, and then I guess finally it just came with his opponent Saturday.
He had the long touchdown. What was it against? Was it A&M?
Yeah,
lined
when he was
up
wide
offside.
Open.
Yeah.
Well,
or no, was that?
Well, he caught one.
Was that
the Missouri game?
Missouri,
he lined up offside,
yeah.
But he caught the one against A&M.
Caught the one against A&M. Yeah. So, I mean, terrific talent, no question about it. But hopefully, he'll get it between the ears too.
Yeah,
get
he's got to be reined in some. But I don't know. I still feel pretty good about Georgia's chances. It's not like you're going to be I think that's the key with LSU. And I do like how it sets up, too, that both teams played Texas A&M late in the season. And, you know, LSU beat them, what was it, 50-7? And we beat them 19-13. So I think that plays into a little bit of how this, this game is being positioned this weekend, too. And it just – I do like that for how it sets up potentially for Georgia. But, you know, also being – close to it and watching it all season, I can get the part where you've watched our offense and you're thinking like, I don't see how we're gonna.
Yeah, well, being better on offense wins the beauty pageant.
Yeah,
but you know, being better on defense, does that win the game?
And that's what I love about our chances. It is like I think that our defense has been overshadowed by all the hand wringing about how sketchy the offense has been this season. Now, I saw that Bobo got fired by Colorado State. Can we bring him in as an analyst for Saturday?
Hopefully they already have. Okay. I don't know.
Because we did that with – didn't we do that with Brian Van Gorder, like brought him in to try and help us and against Tech? Although
didn't
I think
work.
We lost that game.
No, it didn't work.
Woo! By the way, you should check out that Bowling Green defense this year.
Yeah.
What happened to that guy?
It's the Jimmys and Joes, Chris.
I guess it
not
is.
Not the X's and O's.
Yeah.
By the way, here's another thing about tomorrow. It may not be that big of a deal. Now, Georgia's played well in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Beat Auburn last year, or 2 years ago. Should have beaten Bama a couple of times. Dogs were a 12-point underdog last year against Bama. I think that's what that closed at. But anyway, so a lot of LSU fans are in a little bit of a dilemma of, you know, do we spend our money and come to Atlanta this weekend knowing that even if we don't win, we're in the playoff and we got money to spend either to come back to Atlanta or go to Arizona. And some of these projections that the crowd might be 60-65% Georgia fans. I mean, that certainly can't hurt Georgia there either. Now, as we know, LSU fans, though, two LSU fans equals like four of any other school.
Yeah. No, they are.
So they're good fans. They make a lot of noise, and they're a good bunch, too. So I don't know if that matters or not.
When we played them in 03 in the SEC title game, I sat behind a couple of them. I did not have a good time that night.
Because they wouldn't sit down or because they were obnoxious?
Oh, they were obnoxious. And then once the game was nearing its end and whatever the final was, then all of a sudden, like, two of them had these cattails that they put on. And then they're, like, waving them around in your face.
Too bad you couldn't have sat behind them in 2005.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was only but 03 was like, I'm never coming back here again.
Yeah.
So
we'll see tomorrow what it looks like here too, but it's two of the more vibrant fan bases in college football.
Well, yeah, someone should ask Greg Sankey that then too. Like, one of the fan bases doesn't even feel like they want to come to the game cuz they're just they want to save their money for the playoff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good job.
Yeah.
But
that's where we are now.
Yeah.
But you were talking about Bobo. You know, he got a good deal with Colorado State. He didn't get fired. He didn't step down, or they just agreed.
They mutually,
mutually, he's done. His buyout wasn't as much as he would have gotten if he'd gotten fired, but he doesn't have to do the, you know, I'm showing that I'm trying to find a job kind of thing. He's walking away with $1.8 million, and they're completely cut off now. So Mike Bobo and Colorado State are not connected anymore. So he can land wherever he wants to land next year. And there's obviously the Georgia fan base wants him back badly. But what about a certain former Georgia player who's a head coach in the SEC that just demoted his offensive coordinator? You think he's going to make a run for Mike over in Columbia?
You think
Coach Boone will.
I think that's why Georgia fans are antsy right now.
Exactly.
And because to me, that's the swing with how tomorrow goes and how this season ends up getting perceived is either, all right, Georgia somehow finds a way to win that game with the defense and you move on to the playoff. But if Georgia loses tomorrow and you're thinking of how close this team came again with the offense the way it is, and I think it comes back to the story of the season is Kirby punting and not really even conducting any sort of a real search for an offensive coordinator and just deciding that this would be it and this is what we'll do. And then you think, well, with the defense you had, you really missed a real golden opportunity to maybe to do more this season if it comes up short again in the SEC title game.
You know, and then it's like, it was the offense, has the offense been off because Fromm hasn't played well, or has the offense been off and it's cost Fromm maybe not to play as well? I mean, how do you look at that too?
I think we've seen the guys that have been open that Fromm just hasn't connected with. I mean, he definitely shoulders some of the blame, but I also think it's when you're in third down and your average third down distance is like 7 or 8 yards, mm-hmm. and so then like, well, all right, he's going to pass now.
Yeah, and that makes it harder.
Yeah, it makes it tougher for a quarterback.
But that also means you haven't been able to get it done on first and second down too.
Right, which on those downs is when we're deciding like, hey, you know what, let's take a shot at the running up the middle.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. That's our identity.
Yeah.
And somehow if we throw it 40 times a game like Bama and LSU have been doing, that would be a detriment.
Well, that might be something that has to be considered for the offseason or whatever. It's not like you can do anything about that now.
No, but Georgia might end up winning the national championship this year, and it would be the strangest season because of all the angst that we've had, like game to game.
Oh, yeah. It's like every game is a win or has been since South Carolina, but it feels like you're having to, you know, pop the zits.
And we haven't trailed.
I know. But hadn't turned it over until Tech.
Yeah, but it just hasn't even felt that enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the offense. And so maybe Georgia wins and then goes ahead and wins it all. We'll see. But I think if Georgia loses tomorrow, then you come back to the fact that Georgia had an offensive coordinator opening, and really outside of like Eddie Grand's name popping up, there was no real search to do anything there.
Yeah.
And I mean, our offense has been, you know, not good. Not great,
Bob.
Well,
would you say the same thing for the defense, though? Because that was a promotion also, and it's been good.
Yeah, but you get the feeling. Kirby stands there, but he babysits Dan Lanning a lot.
But I like Lanning. I think he's going to, you know, do a lot of good things. He's going to be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, I don't want to be like
that. Did you feel that way with Mel Tucker? You know, as far as Kirby babysitting, that kind of thing?
Well, no. I mean, this year it's like you've noticed when you watch Georgia's defense, like Kirby's standing right next to Lanning the entire game, and he's signaling as much, if not more, as Lanning.
Yeah.
So I think with Mel, it was, you know, you're
– I got this.
Yeah. I mean, you've been a, you know, defensive coordinator in the NFL. Yeah. And, yeah.
No, I hear you.
Now he wears shorts on the sideline as a head coach. I like that look. All right, we'll take a quick little break, then we'll come back, and I guess we'll run through a few of the other conference championship games.
Hey, did you see what the Braves did? Do you want to talk about the Braves?
I missed that. You can fill me in.
All right, I'll surprise you on it. Braves been on vacation all week, so we're recording this right now, and Chris does a lot better job. You do a lot better job of disconnecting than most of us. I envy you for that.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, good.
Braves.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
The one thing I did notice, though, is that a head coach in the NFC South was fired.
And Dan quit.
And it's the one whose former MVP quarterback was injured and didn't play all year.
Yep. Funny how that works.
Yeah. All right. So, Jay will fill me in on some Braves news coming up next. Let's see. It couldn't have been – I'm trying to think of what it could be that I would –
Just get to the break so we can come back and talk about it.
All right. It's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com and – the new 960 The Ref app.
Oh, yeah.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Mander's Cross Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, the Crossover Podcast, the SEC Championship Game Edition, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Athens at Five Points and at the old Waffle House location, and also the original in Watkinsville. So, yeah, I'm curious to know what major Braves news I am completely oblivious about, because I've not been here since the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you've been out and you've disconnected, which, again, like I said, I'm envious about that.
If you're about to tell me they signed Madison Bumgarner, though, I will be shocked, because I feel like I would know that.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I was going to set it up by saying the Braves signed a left-handed pitcher, a veteran left-handed pitcher. And then you would say, well, it must – wait.
It can't be Bumgarner. I'd have known
it
that.
Is not.
Is it Alex Wood?
Nope.
Oh, it's not even Alex
nope.
Wood. A veteran lefty.
A one-year, $18 million contract for veteran lefty, initials CH, Cole Hamels.
Oh, Cole Hamels.
Yes.
Okay.
So some big Braves news a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Now, does this mean they're out of the Madison Bumgarner sweepstakes? I don't know.
How old is Hamels now?
He is 35.
Oh.
And this past season for the Cubs, he went 7-7 with an ERA around 3.80. But, you know, can he give the Braves 30 starts and give them a couple of hundred innings? I mean, that's the thinking there. Are they banking that what they did with Josh Donaldson and giving him that one-year $23 million contract inspired him, and now they're going to do the same thing here with Cole Hamels?
Yeah,
I don't know.
So Keuchel's gone then.
This sounds like this means Keuchel is definitely not coming back.
The biggest question for the Braves is, if they make the playoffs again, will Soroka pitch more than once?
Exactly. That's the big question. So the thinking, too, is, and I know Soroka's right-handed, but does Hamels give Soroka and Max Fried, who is left-handed, you know, that kind of veteran presence to kind of help them through the season? And then who else fills out the rotation? Will Folty be in there, or would he maybe potentially get traded? Who could be the fifth starter for the Braves? Do they still try to go after somebody that would cost a lot of money, or do you look at, you know, one of those young arms on the farm that have actually, you know, gotten a cup of coffee already? I mean, that's the thing, it's where the Braves are. But right now it looks like if you just said the four-man rotation, you would include Folty in it. But I don't know if that means he'll be with the team when the season starts.
Yeah, Folty is, when you think the guy got demoted last summer, then ends up starting two games in the LDS. Because he did pitch well down the stretch.
He pitched well. I mean, it's his whole career was kind of summed up, you know, in the, like you just said, and then he has the one great start and the one terrible start in the series there against the Cardinals. And that's kind of been what he's been, kind of up and down.
Yeah.
But so, he has great stuff.
Yeah. Honestly, the outside of Soroka, like the Braves rotation is still just kind of like,
And Sean Newcomb, if he's another guy they're thinking of putting back in the rotation, there's another lefty there.
Yeah. He actually did okay out of the bullpen, though.
He did. I know. That's why I'm thinking, see, how do you take that? He's like, well, he did okay out of the bullpen. Let's try him again as a starter. Or, well, he did pretty good out of the bullpen. Let's leave him in the bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, that's especially as a lefty potentially, but so they get Will Smith to be the closer, Martin they're bringing back, because the back end of that bullpen, those guys they ended up trading for, it was shaky at first, but then at the end of the year, they were...
So all those guys are back. So Martin's back, Melanson is back, Green, they get Will Smith. They've added Travis d'Arnaud to catch. Was that last week, or were you aware of that?
That I... believe I was aware
of. Okay, are you aware of that?
They brought Markakis is coming back.
Coming back. Trying to think if I'm leaving anything
else. The question is Riley going to play third base? Yeah. Are they going to re-sign
or
Donaldson?
Or would they try to get somebody else?
Or is Donaldson gone?
Well, Donaldson, they tendered him. So doesn't that mean – so basically that was just a move to
get draft,
get draft pick if he doesn't re-sign. I mean, I just – it kind of feels like to me he's gone.
So then,
but does he end up like with the Nationals or something? That would be,
because they could lose Rendon.
Yeah.
The Braves ought to sign Rendon. They drafted him once.
Or what if they try to trade and get Lindor from Cleveland? Obviously, that would make Swanson would probably be gone.
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, I mean, I know. There's still, I mean, they've done a lot of stuff here, but there's still pieces to the puzzle that need to be address.
Because the outfield, obviously you've got Acuna, then you're assuming Waters or Pache for next year with Markakis still back.
Yep. And then what, you know,
you
I think
Freeman
like
will play first?
Well, we'll see.
Remember when
it's in the postseason.
Remember when they moved him to third? Because who was it that they had that they...
It was...
Matt Adams.
Matt Adams.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
yeah let's move
let
Freeman
Freddie
to
play
third.
But maybe the wild card in the outfield is NCRT. I think they'd like to trade him.
Yeah. He's a good defender, but he stopped hitting.
He stops. I mean, he'll get hot for a little bit, but then at the plate, his lows are way lower than his highs.
Yeah. So when you think about it, what you've got Acuna, Albies, and Freeman.
Right.
But 4 through 8 could be
Yeah.
That's still...
I have no idea.
...to be sorted out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Cole Hamels, there's your breaking news, Chris.
Yeah.
You probably weren't expecting that one, were you?
I wasn't.
Well, I wasn't either when I saw it.
And an NFC South coach was fired, and it wasn't Dan Quinn.
And by the way, Ron Rivera, I mean, class act, all the stuff he said all week about, you know, once he got fired and just all the good things he said.
I even like that he came back and actually thanked the media, too. So, like, you guys weren't, I mean, you guys weren't always, like, you know, wasn't always nice, but you're always fair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's what they want.
Yeah.
They can live with.
Yeah, you take the criticism.
Yeah, you know, as an NFL head coach, you're going to get criticized.
Yeah.
But if it's fair, you can live with it. It may not feel good, but you can live with it.
Yeah, I just can't believe that, like, they did that and the Falcons still have Dan Quinn.
Boy, and I don't know what happened in those 7 days of the Saints and Panthers, but that was just a mirage because it hadn't been like that since, and it wasn't like that before.
No.
And, you know, like, the Eagles and Cowboys are – you know, Cowboys lost last night. But, you know, they're battling for the NFC East.
6-10 is going to win that division.
And, you know, the Eagles are like, how did we lose to the Falcons?
Well, they also lost to the Dolphins.
And they lost to the – I know. They're like, what is wrong with us? Then again, the Cowboys got run by the Jets.
And Mitch Trubisky carved him up last night.
Exactly.
Or Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's weird.
All right. Appreciate you checking us out. I like – you know what? I think Georgia. I think Georgia gets it done tomorrow.
Georgia.
24-21. And Joe Burrow still wins the Heisman. The Heisman jinx happens to him before the actual trophy. Or maybe Fields ends up getting it, and that's the trade-off. We get to win the SEC and go to the playoff, but our old backup quarterback wins the Heisman.
So would Georgia get to claim part of that? I guess not.
Yeah, we'd put it in the media guide.
I mean, the golf team doesn't claim Patrick Reed. I guess this is different. I'm not comparing the situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate you checking us out. As always, you can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com, or even easier, get the 960 The Ref app, download that, and you can get all of our on-demand content at your fingertips, plus listen to The Ref live wherever you are. Stream all Georgia sports programming within a 75-mile radius, and also you can even vent, too. We got the open mic feature. Or, you know, give us good little information, too. One day, Tyler and I were talking about sports fights, and some guy gets on the open mic and says, hey, you should check out this fight between the Boston Bruins and the New York Rangers from 1979, I think.
I heard y'all talking about that.
And I went, I'll do that. And, like, the entire Bruins team ends up in the stands at Madison Square Garden fighting fans. One Bruin rips one of the fans' shoes off and starts hitting him with it.
How is that not more famous?
I don't know, because I'm remembering, like, okay, when the Malice at the Palace happened,
yeah.
It was like that had never been seen before.
Do you remember we were at a remote downtown? Do you remember that? You were there, weren't you? We were, like, at a restaurant downtown.
Yes.
And we ended up, like, the only reason... We were at a pizza place. Yep. The only reason we probably saw that is because it was on, like, a, you know, in the bar.
We were at a bar, yeah.
If I'd been at home or whatever, I wouldn't have even known about it till the next day, probably.
Same here.
But we're watching it unfold, and it was cool.
Yeah. And at the time, you're like, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it had the whole Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
And that was 2 days before Christmas, too, which made that even
better.
Yeah. All right. Well, appreciate you checking us out again. 960theref.com anytime on demand, or... go to the App Store, the 960 The Ref app, or if you have an Android, Google Play. For Dave, I'm Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points in Athens.
You've been listening to The Crossover presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.